Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow pow pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
It's another episode where we delve into the mailbag with the correspondence from yourselves. We're doing this because one of us is away on holiday at the minute, so we've got to pre-record this. That's the reason why. Plus, as well, we like reading out your emails.
We do, and we've got a good stack of them that have built up because we haven't done mailbags. Well, we have. You would have heard a few by this stage, but we're catching up on a lot of mailbags. I kick things off, Andy, with one that arrived, that dropped with a clang into my inbox last night when I was out having a Thai meal with my father-in-law.
Wow. I'd love you to.
It's lovely clang. That even when I'm out pretending to be a human being... Mm-hmm. with in-laws and other, mm-hmm. you know, reasonable people, that because of the wonders of the iPhone, the atmosphere of the IFS and the cunt community is still haunting me, even in the most formal of situations. In fact, I've got another story about that to tell you in a minute.
It never leaves you,
So Stuart Campbell emailed, and the title of the email was Sausage Talk. And I had to give it one of these. Yeah, it was a family, a lot of family there. He's over from Hungary. And I had to, like, my phone pinged. And I was like, hang on a minute. I just need to read this. It's a work thing.
I need to take this.
I need to read this. It's a work thing. Making him think that, like, it's probably some high-level journalistic stuff that's landed from one of his sources.
Yeah, it must be important as well at 9:30 p.m. out of office hours.
He's broken off from the family meal. Mm. This could be something that could bring the government to its knees. Mm. And I thought, sausage talk. Is worth reading immediately. And I'm happy to say it was, because it reads as follows. Your talk chat reminded me of something a mate at work once told me. When he was a little boy, if his nan ever gave him a bath, she would talc him afterwards, which was pretty standard. What wasn't standard was what she would say when talcing his man bits, which was, roll the sausage in the flour.
Oh, God, no.
I've never laughed as hard as when he told me that. Cheers, Stuart. Swindon branch. Now, he's from... Swindon, but I don't know why. Maybe it's because his name's Stuart Campbell, which sounds like a Scottish name. So I had Scotland in my head when I first read it, and it does have an extra special ring to it when you imagine the nan being a Scottish name. Roll the sausage in the flour. It's good, that, isn't it?
That's really good.
And my Hungarian father-in-law, everything okay? I think it's gonna be fine. Just some important breaking info and data. Don't worry, I've digested and processed it and forwarded it on to my team. It's about a nan rolling a boy's penis in some talc. You don't need to worry about it.
I've done an initial crunch of the data, and I'll look at it in more depth later on. And yeah, it's basically a child's penis story.
Child's penis. I don't know whether this happens in Hungary, but back in the day here in the UK, there was a lot of historical incidents of nans rolling child's penises in talcum powder. They used to call it rolling the sausage in the flour.
Yes, this happens a lot in Hungary also.
I'm about to blow the lid on off a historical scandal.
I got one here. It's about a subject we touch on now and again, which is prison, specifically open prison, which we reckon that we'd be able to handle a lot of Well, after we've seen Jimmy McGovern's time, I think I'd probably just want to avoid any kind of incarceration.
That's a closed
whatsoever.
Prison, mate. Open it prison is just like...
But yeah, but I mean, that was bad enough in itself, but that doesn't mean that an open prison would be like a holiday camp, which is what we imagine it would be. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to take the risk.
Who's going to try and... Who's going to try and fucking mug me off? Some sort of iffy accountant?
Well, I don't know.
Who's been squirreling money in Panama? He's getting knocked out, mate. First day. Bang. Delaney's here now.
And then they upskill you into the big house for doing that. Don't they?
Yeah, true. No, yeah. I reckon I'd establish a pretty matey relationship with the governor and all of the influential screws.
Yeah, with your quick Cockney chat.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and my canary, let me tell you, I would be given full canary in a cage privileges within the first month.
Well, you see that.
You don't mind if I bring my pet canary Charlie into my cell, do you, Governor? Don't worry. I'll make sure your missus gets that nylon that she likes. I'll have one of my chaps send it over.
Christmas is coming up. I'll make sure your missus gets a lovely turkey. Delivered on Christmas Eve.
I'll send some of the boys round to help her home with her shopping if you want. What with you working these long hours, she must get awful lonely. Oh, don't worry. I know your address. I make it my business to know these things. Since I got banged up for illegal podcasting. Oh, actually, talking about illegal podcasting.
Yeah.
You know, I told you about my mate who I bumped into the other day who had a pint, but then a half pint in an old milk carton.
Yeah.
When I was chatting to him, I found out that he'd bought a boat, right, for $4,000, small boat. And he's gonna monetize it. He lives right by the world's hardest river, River Thames.
And he was
going to monetize it because Hammersmith Bridge is shut, which I've droned on about a lot on this podcast.
You have.
He's actually going to ferry some people back and forth.
Right.
Apparently you can go across the width of the river, which I didn't. I assumed there'd be Lampardy regulations. I actually said to him, are you sure you can go across widthwise? And he was like, yeah. And I said, you don't need to apply to the river council. And he's like, no, you can go back and forth any direction you want.
You don't need to apply to the elders of the Thames.
Yeah. Stephanie Moore, the Thames spokesperson. The River Thames has issued a statement to the British public. It wants it to be known that in the Hammersmith area, it will be allowing vessels to travel widthwise across it.
Didn't you see he was a barrister?
He was a barrister.
What's he doing setting up a fucking illegal ferry company then?
It's not illegal. It's legal.
Partially legal.
No, I don't know if he's going to charge people, actually. He said to me, I will give lifts across the...
Right.
He didn't buy it just that. He's bought it also for fun. But I think he realised too late that if you're on the Thames, right? No offence to people living out east and in Essex. But the truth is, if you're on the Thames where we are in West London, you want to be heading west, not east. Because if you head west, you go out to like all lovely countryside. You go to Henley-on-Thames and Windsor and all these beautiful places. Very, very beautiful. But if you go right, if you go eastwards, you go through the city. You go past Westminster, which is quite nice, but it's a bit noisy and grimy, right? Mm. And you get to the O2, right? And all the rest of it. I prefer going west, but he bought the boat and he realised he can't go west because he's got to clear Hammersmith Bridge first. So he's fucking trapped, the mad bastard, right? Anyway, all of that aside, it got me in mind of me and you doing an illegal podcast from the river, like Radio Caroline or Radio Luxembourg, right? Now, you're not allowed to play commercial music full length or at all, I don't think, really, on podcasts because of licensing issues.
It's a grey area.
But then I thought, that's difficult because we do Tune Machine and we would like to just play music and also say more illegal stuff, defamatory stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of thing. And I thought, well, there's our solution. We get my mate's boat and we set up a podcast on the boat, floating on the Thames, because as I understand it, if you are on water, then the laws of dry land do not apply, do they?
It's nautical law, isn't it, when you're on the water?
Nautical law.
Yeah, which is different. Anything goes.
You're outside the jurisdiction of any known government.
Yeah.
So, just a thought for you, mate. It might be an idea for us to do just a series of illegal podcasts.
Yeah, I'm up for that. Yeah, definitely. Can we do it on the barrister's boat?
Yeah, we could just ask him if we can set up on there.
Because he seems to be quite happy to do shady nautical
activity. Yeah, yeah, he's up for anything. Yeah. A lot of barristers are, mate.
Well, this is it. I mean, you see some of the cunts they defend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, first of all that, right? And second, they're basically freelance gobshites. That's what a barrister is, right?
Yeah.
They're really good at talking. They've got the gift. They've got all the chat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have to know the law inside out because they've got the lawyers in the background giving them all the fact checking and the research. They're just the cunt that's got to stand up and give it all the big chat in court. Do a bit of charm. Give a cheeky eye to the ladies in the in the jury and all that sort of stuff, right? It's basically talking people round. So really what barristers are just massive wide boys. Like a really good barrister would have been Teddy Sheringham. He would have been superb at it.
Yeah, definitely.
Coming out there in his wig and his gown. Oi, dickheads. Oi.
Now then, what we got here? who are we going to keep out of prison today?
Yeah. Oh, look, here he is. My good friend, Charlie Boy. I've known him for yonks. Let me tell you, he's as honest as the day is long. Now, there's people saying they saw him in a branch of Halifax down in Deptford with a shotgun. But can we really trust those people? Some of them were foreign, or at least they looked it.
Can we trust them compared to me? I'll stick up for him. I was there on the day. He was nowhere near it. He was out in a boat with me, going across the River Thames, shipping poor people from one side to the other so they go and get their universal credit and a nip to the food bank. He's as good as gold.
Helping disabled kiddies and all he was. Because he's got heart of fucking gold. And I'm sorry, if that's a crime in Britain nowadays, then we might as well just lock up shop, switch out the lights and say goodnight, Vienna. I rest my case, Your Honour.
No further questions, Your Honour.
We might as well have let the Nazis win. That's my closing lines for all of my speeches. And I'll tell you what, it's a fail-safe. I've never lost a case while using that line as my wrapper.
Jalapeño.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
All right, I mean, I don't know if this is any good or not. It's fairly long. It's from Ryan. It says IFS Platters, which I assume is short for platinum. Don't do that. No, don't call it IFS Platters, please. Platinum. It's a good email, though. He says, I grew up in a seaside town called Littlehampton, very close to Ford. Every year, Ford Open Prison held a school's six-a-side tournament involving all the schools in the local area in Sussex. I would have been involved around 93 to 95, playing for Connaught Junior School. The prison themselves would also enter a team of inmates, but they entered as a laugh and prattled about all game, losing 6 or 7 nil every time. They were a good bunch of lads, to be fair, and really entertaining. For example, when we had to play them, they picked me up collectively and put me in a nearby dustbin. All the while, our team walked one in to an empty net, that kind of tomfoolery. It was a tournament, however, and all the other inmates are obviously walking around the grounds, all watching the games and everything because it's an open prison. By the time we get to the final, it's the only game on and the whole fucking pitch is surrounded by two deep, maybe three deep behind the goals. It wasn't too bad during the day with everything spread out, but finally you really got the sense of being surrounded by prisoners. We were 9 or 10 years old, for fuck's sake. Standing there, ready for kickoff, watching rations getting passed down to the bookmaker. Packs of fags, Snickers bars, magazines. It was terrifying. Obviously, now we're all older, we know it was all completely harmless at Ford, and it was probably a great day in the prison calendar. We won the final, we had a decent school team, and I'm pretty sure a few of the crowd doubled their dirty VHS collection that day. Looking back, I like to imagine an inmate cleaning up after himself and saying, "Good on you, lads." Oh, Jesus Christ, no. I reckon my mum, God bless her, has probably kept the medals in a box in the loft. I'll see if I can dig it out and present it to the cunters on Brown John. Keep it cunty, Ryan. That's great. That's reinforced our love of open prison, I think. It's given us confidence that it won't be that bad.
The thing about the real appeal of open prison is just that it's like, must be so relaxing.
I think so. It would be like going to a health spa, wouldn't it? Not even like going to rehab, because rehab's tough. But this is just like a health spa.
Oh, rehab, they make you get up and do loads of fucking meetings where you got to sit and like
unpick your mind.
Well, I don't know. I haven't been an inmate, but I think there's a lot of sitting and like talking to an empty chair, pretending it's your mum or something like that. Where that's not very relaxing. Whereas, I mean, the only thing more relaxing, hospital.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about that again last night because my missus is going in for the dream, a non-critical operation.
It's the dream, isn't it? I think they call them a procedure, don't they?
Yeah, she's going in for a procedure. I was like, you lucky bastard.
Non-invasive. Get in.
Right. And because of COVID, the idea is as well, you have to go in, get tested for COVID, and then if it comes back negative, you then have to isolate for like 3 days before going in.
Right.
So what she's got worked out is she goes in, she has the test, then she goes straight to her, because she's not really isolating if she's here at home with the kids, because the kids are going in and out of school every day, right? So she comes home. She can't come home, so she goes round to her mum's, right, which is safer, just relaxes for 3 days, her mum cooking food and whatnot, probably just leaving it outside the door, her relaxing in a nice room with a TV and, like, loads of books. Then after that, she goes into the hospital as a lovely operation. General anaesthetic, mind you.
Yeah.
Oh, general anaesthetic. Sleepy.
The deepest of sleeps.
The deepest of sleeps you can get without actually dying. Lovely. Yeah.
Go to the brink.
Beautiful stuff. Then she comes round and unfortunately, they will have to keep me in to monitor me for an extra night. And I thought, you fucking bastard, there you'll be in a bed.
Sweet.
One of those, the best beds in the world with the electronic sort of up and down. A curtain around you. A buzzer, whenever you want a nurse. Sorry, nurse, could you come over and give me a bit of a wash? Sorry to bother you. I need a bit of a wash, a once over with the cloth.
My pillows need to be slightly plumped, I think. Could you do that for me now?
I'm feeling awfully poorly, nurse. Could you read me a story? I am so envious of her going in for her non-essential procedure.
Do you have the tiger what came to tea? I'd like to hear that, please.
Are you familiar with Polly and the Wolf? It's very amusing. I bought my own copy. You could just read me some passages if you want. If you've got the time, like.
have you got another email there?
Yeah, Barbara Smalltalk Disaster. Great title for an email.
Cool.
We're always up for these. Hi, chaps. The recent chat reminded me of a time a few years ago when I was forced to visit a new barber's. Oh, it's never good, is it? It's always full of trepidation. Due to my usual being fully booked, I'm not normally a fan of small talk during a haircut, and my usual barber knows this. We have an understanding.
Really? Good. That's good.
I can see why you didn't want to switch, because to arrive at that sort of an understanding with your barber must take years.
I always think when you get in a taxi, there should be a button near the seat where you can press for no conversation.
No chat.
Do you know what I mean? You just get in and press the button and they know that you don't want to talk. Because some taxi drivers like to talk. Some passengers like to talk.
We should make badges that just say, sorry, yeah. Don't want to chat.
Yeah.
That you could just wear generally.
Nil by mouth.
Well, the cliche always about London, which I happen to think is untrue, but maybe, I don't know, it's just my experiences of living in London, is that our northerners always go, oh, they're dead unfriendly in London. No one talks to each other. And my thing about that is that, yeah, it's a huge city. We don't keep bumping into people we're related to or went to school with. There's fucking 10 million of us milling about, right?
No, we talk to strangers up here. We'll talk to anybody.
Yeah, they're not really strangers, though.
Yeah, they are.
You know them.
Yeah, they are. No, we don't.
Right. But anyway, that's not my experience. I think it's really friendly in London. But I think if you're from outside London, maybe you don't know how to get the conversation going with a Londoner. It's got to be a sort of, you've got to always open with oi oi or something like that, right?
Well, I will say about London, I think in London you've got lots of tourists, and maybe you've got lots of tourists that don't even speak English.
Exactly. I think a lot of people
There's barriers, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously by definition, if you're an outsider and you come to London, you're more likely to be in those kind of areas that have a lot of tourists. One thing I would say is that when I used to go to pubs more regularly, it was always sort of quite friendly, whereas being of a London persuasion, if I went to pubs outside of London and walked in and ordered something with a London accent, you would experience a huge amount of hostility.
Oh.
Whereas if you go into a pub in London and you order a drink in any fucking accent from anywhere in the fucking world, let alone the country, people don't bat an eyelid.
Yeah.
Anyway, if I did live up north, and it is true that everyone chats to each other the whole time, I love chatting to people. I'll talk to any cunt me, but I do think it would be handy sometimes if you are in the north where everyone's chatting, if you're in a hurry, to have a no chat please, I'm in a hurry badge.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you live up north, you must have to factor an extra hour into every fucking journey.
Pretty much, yeah.
So he's in the barber. I began to roll out the tried and tested questions. Going anywhere nice this summer? Been busy the last few weeks. Got any plans for the weekend? He informed me that he was going to a meal with a few friends on Saturday evening before turning the question back to me. I said that I was going to the Leeds game on Saturday afternoon. Immediately, his facial expression dropped and he mumbled something that I didn't hear. Undeterred, I pressed on, asking him if he was a fan of football. Are you a fan of football? Hoping perhaps that he supported a rival team, which might lead to some light ribbing. Always fun. Instead, he responded quickly and sharply, no, before pausing his work on my hair. After a few seconds, he looked me in the eyes through the mirror and said, I went once. Someone chucked a pie at me. To this day, I don't know why, but the only follow-up question I could think to ask him was what flavour the pie was. Oh, did they? What kind of pie was it, mate?
What?
He said he couldn't remember. The haircut was completed in silence after that, and I never returned to him. Fucking hell.
Brilliant.
I went once to Leeds. Someone threw a pie at me. Oh, really? What flavour was the pie? I don't remember.
It was meat. Brilliant. We need to wrap this episode up because we're against the clock, as it were.
Right.
So it's slightly shorter than usual. But if that's a problem for you, go and listen to the end of one of the longer ones that we do to make up the time. Thanks. We'll be back with more soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.